Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. In the past 2 months, 11 seniors have come to the Northumberland Help Center because they are facing homelessness. One of them is a 90-year-old woman. On today's show, you will hear her story. Kim Lauder, executive director of the Help Center, said there was a 15% increase in the number of elderly people seeking assistance as they face the possibility of becoming homeless. She said the situation in the county is a crisis. In this interview, Lauder discusses the diverse reasons why seniors become homeless, including financial difficulties, the lack of family support, and challenges accessing benefits, while highlighting the importance of creative solutions and collaboration amongst stakeholders. Then, you can figure out how serious is this problem in Northumberland. I am absolutely delighted to welcome to Consider This Northumberland, Kim Lauder, the Executive Director of the Help Center.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Last week, Christian Harvey, the interim executive director of Transition House, said half the people using the emergency shelter were seniors. What was your reaction when you learned this?
I think myself and all the other staff were not overly shocked. This is something that we are seeing within our own service, and it's elements of our service that are being radically changed over the last year. So those numbers were something that, although very sad and we didn't want to hear those numbers, that we were not terribly shocked by.
Do you have any sense of the number of seniors that are coming forward to you with issues around affordable housing?
Absolutely. So I've been with the organization since April, and I would say between April and the end of this 2025 that there would have been easily a 15% increase in the number of seniors that we saw in just that period of time. So if a standard year, it would have been 15% higher this past year. Then in the last 2 months, we have 11 people that we are working with, seniors, elderly seniors, who are in imminent crisis of becoming unhoused. So it's, and that's just within 2 months, which would be November, December, where, a lot of the time people wouldn't even be contacting us. So the numbers are serious.
So what then is the Help Center seeing when it comes to seniors and housing in Northumberland County? What are the kinds of things that these people are coming forward with and the issues that you're having to navigate?
It's a rather complex thing because every individual case can be different, but there are some trends that we've been seeing. And one of the trends is that most seniors are on limited income. They are a lot of seniors that are on the lower income and living within poverty are having that. And so then they're also seeing an increase in expenses, like we all are, like how food and, transportation, everything is increasing. And that with the limited income increase, they're in crisis. That combined with the fact that Northumberland County has a real shortage of housing at the moment, and we're seeing many, many seniors being affected by things that we would call rent evictions. So a homeowner is taking their home or a property that they had and they're going to renovate it. Well, there's rules around that. But for example, we had a lady months ago when I first started noticing this who was very, very elderly. She was told that she had to leave the home because they were going to renovate it and a family member was going to live in. Well, that can be done, and that is it, but that isn't always what ends up happening. But this person, we tried to, you know, we worked with them around what are your rights. So many seniors don't know what their rights are around that. So connecting them with other services, especially our legal center, to identify and be able to protect their rights. But then we see so many of them that say they're too tired. They can't deal with that. So you're dealing with sometimes people that who are very senior who can't support their rights when these types of things happen. So then it escalates into a major crisis. Then you have seniors who have lost a spouse. So in a lot of cases, with the loss of a spouse, you're also losing an income. So they can no longer afford where they were staying, but they can no longer afford any place else. I did just a bit of looking before we started. And on average, a one bedroom apartment in Northumberland County is about $1,500. Well, if you are on CPP and OAS and GIS, which are the kind of standard seniors revenue streams, you're getting maybe $1,750 or, you know, $1,800 a month. And if your rent is $15, you're already starting to be not able to afford it. And that's only if you can find one of those single room apartments or places. Many seniors could afford a room. You know, rooms within the county are going for approximately $1,000 now. And that's just increased. They're increasing like almost every month we're seeing increases. The problem with a room for a senior isn't even just about privacy or anything like that. It's about the idea of you have no rights. You can be told it doesn't fall under the Landlord-Tenant Act. So you can be told in the morning, oh, you have to be out next week. And then you're starting from scratch and it's a crisis again.
You, as you were talking, you talked in generalities about elderly and seniors. What age group, what age bracket are we talking about?
We generally, depending on the program, because, I mean, we do have specific programs for specific things. But in most cases, when you're talking about seniors, you're looking at somebody who's, you know, can apply for CPP, which would be like 55. But in general, the seniors that we would have the most clientele for in this type of situation would be 65 and up, and elderly I would refer to somebody who was into their 70s, 80s, 90s.
So when you were talking about the rent eviction, how old would that person have been?
They were in their 90s. Had lived there for 30 some years.
Can you share some other profiles of the seniors you've been working with?
We have somebody that was in their 70s and recently their spouse passed away. They have not been able to afford to keep the place that they have, but they can't find another place that they can afford. So this person in their 70s is now taking in children and being a caregiver again. We have a senior who is now, you know, living in the shelter because there is no other option. They had actually, this is very unfortunate, and it is not unknown, and it is was scammed out of a major part of their savings. So no longer has the ability to be able to afford to take care of themselves. And One of the challenges some seniors have is being able to access the benefits and the things that they are eligible for, because two things: they're not comfortable with technology. Almost all systems right now, government, healthcare, everything is you have to go online for. Not only are they not comfortable with it, they don't have the ability, they have no experience, they don't have the equipment, and so many people that are living in poverty or having challenges making payment don't have internet. So combining those things, and sometimes especially some of the seniors that we're seeing in their 70s, 80s, 90s, they just don't even know where to start, and they end up, the crisis kind of snowballs, and they end up in the shelter.
Some listeners may be hearing all this and thinking, well, where is their family? Where are their relatives? Can you talk to that a bit?
We do. We actually are very lucky. We do see some families that are very, very supportive and do help, especially in some of the cases where seniors have been defrauded or scammed, and they try to help. In that case, you're dealing with a lot of dignity and embarrassment and stuff. So there is a limitation to what some people will allow their families to help them with. In other cases, when you're talking about a 90-year-old, sometimes they have no one left. There's no family. There's no friends. We have seniors that have been living with family, and then there can be some kind of disagreement or dysfunction, and it doesn't work anymore. Especially if a senior is living with family with small children, it can become very difficult for them. But the reasons with families are probably as diverse as the people themselves. But a lot of the times when you're talking about very elderly people, it can be because they don't have anyone left, or people are so far away. We have some seniors that we work with where their children will call us, but they're calling us from great distances to try and assist. But yeah, there's not really any single reason why a family isn't involved. And there's not really even a single reason why people become into crisis.
There seems to be such a wide range of factors. And I'm also wondering too about some of the other more hidden factors, things like, say, early life abuse or trauma, or you were talking about the need for employment or other relationship issues that can arise. Can you speak to those factors as well, please?
Especially with some of the women that we see, they have been a caregiver, they've been a stay-at-home mom. We have seen cases where they've been in very abusive and toxic relationships, and now they don't have the skills, experience, or the confidence to take on some of these crises for themselves. Also, we have a number of people, and some of them are men. It doesn't have to just be the female, but that have no experience dealing with finances, because it's always been the spouse that has done it. And this way, they are now left on their own. And a lot of the times, it's almost like they feel like they're drowning. It's just too much to take on, especially if you're dealing with grief and health issues and, you know, all those things that exasperate them. But homelessness is not one of the things that is systemic within the senior population. This is kind of new. It, for the most part, the people that we are seeing that are seniors and elderly have never been homeless before. The really sad part about it is that if they do become homeless, they are far more likely than any population to remain homeless. And that's very, very sad.
When you say remain homeless, what are you really saying there?
that they will not get into their own home ever again. They won't get into an apartment. They will live in shelters, or they'll end up in long-term care after. Because living rough or living in a shelter has major consequences to health, mental health, all of those things. And so that can, and your intellectual health as well. And you could end up in a situation where you are no longer able to live on your own, that those things start to exasperate so quickly that you could then end up in long-term care rather than being able to go back into your own housing.
Issues around homelessness seem to be Coburg-centric. How prevalent is homelessness amongst seniors elsewhere in the county, in the rural areas, as well as other urban areas?
Within Northumberland County, unfortunately, homelessness for many, many communities is invisible. It's just not seen, but it is still there. So with some of the rural communities, it's really, really not seen, because people who live in remote areas don't have the connections. They're far more isolated. They do not get kind of seen or noticed until it is very late within the crises. They don't have neighbors. They don't have family, but it is there. We deal or serve and work with people right from Coburg to Brighton up to Campbellford, Bewdley. Like, it's all over the place. But I mean, the numbers are higher in Coburg because you have a higher concentration of people.
So what are some of the possible remedies or programs offered to assist seniors who may be struggling?
Programs and stuff are very even, like, they are so overwhelmed. Like, RGI is rent geared to income, which is kind of a basic thing that helps people to afford the rent that's there based on their income. And affordable rent is kind of defined as 30% of your income should go to your housing. Well, that is not possible, like, without some kind of support for anybody that's on CPP, OAS, GIS, that type of thing. But the waiting lists for those programs at the moment in Northumberland County are, well, I would say almost like they're getting close to a decade long, but they're years and years and years. So when we had the very elderly lady in her 90s, and one of the first things we do is put them onto that RGI list. Well, if you're working with somebody who's in their 90s and you're putting them on a list that's, you know, years and years long, 5, 7, 10, it becomes very discouraging for them. There are some other programs, but the funding, it doesn't meet the needs. And there's, I think that some of the challenges with seniors is too being able to make sure that people have done some pre-planning. So we are looking at ways of doing some workshops with people so that they are pre-planning, so they don't get into this crisis. So they are on the lists for retirement homes and long-term care and things like that, so that there is a bit of a natural progression, because there just is not a lot of funding. There is the one shelter in Northumberland County, basically. And so you're having seniors that are with very young people. It's very intimidating. A lot of them would be coming from areas not like downtown Coburg. The answer, as far as I personally, and when we're looking at it, is we try to be as creative as we can. We try and keep extraordinarily good relationships with landlords that we know, and do a little bit of that advocacy work to see if we can find somebody a place that may not get listed. And it could be just that it's a landlord we know, or it's a person that we know, and they have a room, and we know that they won't be kind of tossing somebody onto the street. Or so I think that, and working with other organizations, working with the United Way around the senior housing subsidy right now to try and so, and some of that could be even preserving tenancy. So if somebody has had a serious health issue or something like that, where their income couldn't cover their rent, then we may be able to help them subsidize the arrears so that they can get back on track and their tenancy is not jeopardized, so they can stay where they are. That's also limited. Unfortunately, solutions are limited. The crisis is strong. The need for housing and accessible, that's another challenge. So of the 11 people that we've been working with since November, who are imminently in need of housing, like they are in crisis, half of them will need accessible housing. So if you combine accessible with the idea of affordable, we are so short in this county. You know, if somebody has a scooter or a wheelchair or, even a walker to try and get up a flight of stairs to get to a unit is very, very challenging. And it isn't, I know sometimes people think that somebody, not even just a senior, may get into crisis because of doing something that they shouldn't have done or whatever. And that does happen. But if you think about some of the costs that seniors may have to have that are not within their normal budget, like maybe they need a wheelchair or a scooter or a walker. I mean, those walkers now, they can be really expensive. You're talking about $500. And if you're taking, you know, half of your monthly income, you know, that's going to put you, there's no buffer for anything. Incontinence products, diabetic diet, all of those things add to what can create a crisis and then it lead you to a position of not being able to stay housed.
What programs then do you think are needed, in your mind at least, that would make a difference?
When I look around, I think for me, creativity is going to be the biggest solution for this. Thinking outside of the box of what we've done in the past. So as much as I like programs that provide the subsidies and things like that, I think we have to look at ways of increasing the inventory of things that are available.
Right. So if that's the case, then what could local government do, the lower tier municipalities, what can they do to alleviate this problem?
I think that working together with service providers helps. So there have been some creative solutions happen within Northumberland County. I have worked with Habitat in the past, and there's been some outside of the box programs that, you know, have taken old buildings and converted them into, you know, affordable. And I think that looking at those types of things, and instead of first thinking about why we can't do it, thinking about how do we do it? And the idea of not everything has to be down to one organization or one government or one individual. I think it's that idea of coming together and saying, okay, well, this piece of land might be available and this is how we might be able to do it. And if this person will come on board, they can provide some services so that it won't have to be supervised and we'll have some support. And if it's for seniors, we can work with the VON or community care or whoever. I think that that combined idea and looking at ways of doing it rather than ways of not doing it.
So that's local government, but what about provincial and federal government? What can they do?
So I think that when they're doing their planning, I think that there needs to be a little bit more consultation or looking at individual areas and what the solution may be for them. And I know not all programs are painted with a single brush and are the same across the board, but being from the North, I know that the issues in the North are far different than the issues down here. So a program that works here may not work up there. Or a program that works up there may not work here. I think that there has to be some flexibility and some consultation to see what works and what the area actually needs. And maybe not just in this point in time, but also in 10 years, we know that Northumberland County is going to increase its senior population over the next 10 years. I mean, what's the county is saying that the aging trend is supposed to continue and increase by another 34% by 2036. And that's the local health system that's kind of projecting that. So these numbers are not going to go down, and this crisis isn't going to go down.
We've talked about government as a whole, but what do you think politicians need to be doing locally?
I think that maybe some of the understanding of the challenges may not be exactly what they think it is. I think that maybe getting out and learning, rather than just speaking to even service providers, like I'm a service provider, we're grassroots, you know, we know what we know. But I think an understanding directly with people that are being impacted, I think that the idea of not looking at it necessarily just even from a political standpoint, but these are people, they're individuals. They're not just like we say, you know, poverty, people living in poverty. Well, their stories and solutions are not all one way. And I think having a clear understanding of how things are working for people and how things are not working for people, rather than just for service providers or different tiers of government or, you know, what somebody on the internet is telling them.
When you follow the debates and discussions of Northumberland County residents and politicians, why do you think it is that we see a lot of discourse around younger generations, around mental health, around addiction, but not as much as seniors and maybe even families that find themselves homeless?
I think part of that is built out of fear. So if you hear that somebody has a mental health problem, you can feel that they may be a danger to you. I'm just going by what I kind of see and feel. I think the idea that if somebody is an addict, that they could be a danger to you, a danger to your property, and that possibly could be the case, but does not necessarily, in my experience, is generally not the case. Just as an aside, I had a very interesting conversation with a gentleman who thought that because somebody was an addict was why they were homeless. Unfortunately, quite often people who are living rough or living unhoused for periods of time will try and find comfort and escape in many different ways. And that can then create that addiction. So there's both ways for that. But I also think that families and seniors are a little bit more invisible. You don't see them. A gentleman in Oshawa who as part of a program there, was telling me that he had been working, he was quite well off, and then had a series of unfortunate family events and ended up unhoused. He had very nice clothes. He had was walking around Oshawa. Nobody looked at him. Nobody said anything. As soon as he put a backpack on and kind of started walking in the rain, he was then identified as somebody who was a problem. So I think that it's partially our context that we take it through. So if we've heard that an addict has maybe done something, then maybe all addicts will do something. I think it comes out of a place of fear personally. And unfortunately, then that what happens is you have lost your seniors and you have lost your families and the children because they're not getting the attention and recognition that should go to making sure that they have services as well.
Earlier in our conversation, you talked about the issues that seniors are facing around rentals, around owning and rent evictions that you've talked about. There are those who talk in generalities about landlords in Northumberland, and they are characterized as pushing people out of housing. They can do this for valid reasons, like you mentioned, for personal use and to renovate. Rather than painting all landlords with the same brush, in your experience, how many are actually unscrupulous?
I don't know that I would even say somebody's unscrupulous. We have a system right now that we have a capitalist system in our community, in our society. And right now we have an environment where real estate and apartments are going for like rates that we've never seen before. And it doesn't look like they're going to come down anytime soon. So somebody that is a landlord who has a place that they've been renting to the same person for 20 years is now looking and going, I can get almost three times the rent if that person wasn't there. So I'm not saying that they do something unscrupulous. I think sometimes it's done with the idea that it's unfair. There's not that many of them. Our experience with landlords, for the most part, has been quite good. I wouldn't say that landlords are evil and always bad. I think that there are times when they do things that may not be in the best interest of their tenants. And there's sometimes that they play with the fringes of rights and sometimes completely override rights in an effort to improve their investment. And we at the Legal Center, they are there to help people support so that they can, you know, not have their rights trampled on. I don't agree with landlords doing that. I mean, you know, if you've accepted the rules, you know, you play by the rules. And that's the way it goes. But I don't necessarily think. And in some cases, even when they do that, they will work with the person and try and help them. But there are some. We've had cases where, especially around the rooms, because people do not have rights. So if you don't like something that somebody's done one day, and when you're living with people, you don't always get along. And then there's that ability to just say, okay, you have to be out tomorrow.
How many cases do you find where there's late rent or non-payment involving seniors? We haven't talked really about that.
Seniors with rental arrears is not what we tend to see the most of. There's some, but generally with seniors, what we find, and this is generalities, every case is different, but a senior will pay their rent first. They will eat last. So if they have money, it goes to their rent. Sometimes their money has to go to healthcare as well. But in generalities, they will forego food. And that's when you start to also exacerbate the health issues. We're seeing quite a strong increase in seniors' visits to the food bank. Unfortunately, with a lot of cases, they don't have the mobility or the transportation. So the food bank has a great program where they help and they'll deliver once a week and stuff. But we do not see as much rental arrears with seniors as we have with other populations.
If someone listening was aware of a situation and they're concerned for a senior who could face becoming unsheltered, what should they do?
If you feel comfortable and if you're a neighbor, then the first thing I would do is speak to them and ask what help they need. Because quite often it could just be that a family member doesn't even know what's going on. We are always available. They can call the help center. We are here. We are happy to help. We can even just advise if the person is struggling because they haven't got their benefits, or if they should be getting an Ontario Energy Support credit. These are things that we can make sure that happen. Those are things that a neighbor can make sure that happens, because most people can access a computer and have an understanding. And a neighbor is just as good at knowing a person and being able to help them in some cases as we are. And sometimes a senior will feel more comfortable with somebody and not as embarrassed or ashamed.
In the bigger picture, what can people do if they're wanting to take action on this issue or see action taken?
I think that advocating. So when there are conversations about homelessness, when there are conversations about seniors and the needs and programs, I think advocating and educating. So if you hear somebody saying, we just hand money out to seniors and they don't have any problems, or whatever the case may be, is making sure that you help them understand that, okay, CPP, OAS, GIS will give you an income of maybe, if you were somebody that was a stay-at-home mom, you are going to have a very limited senior's income. And knowing that they are living on pennies a lot of the time, and understanding that and absorbing it. And then making sure that when there are things like opportunities to speak with politicians or decision makers or help out with a committee, that you become involved.
Is affordable housing for seniors and homelessness a crisis in Northumberland?
I believe it is, because we are in a position where when somebody comes to us in crisis, we're almost in a position where we're having a really challenging time helping them. And in the past, it would be that we could give, this may take a month, but here's some options. You know, we'll get all your benefits and know that you're stable there. And then here's some housing options. Now it's not quite that way. We send out a listing of rental options every Friday that are affordable throughout the county. And the only thing that's below $900, $850, is a room. So if you have a family, or if there's a couple, or you have an accessibility need, it's really difficult to find anything. So I do think that becomes a crisis. People who are even willing to leave the area, it's not like this is just a Cobourg or Port Hope problem. It's around the county. Some of the smaller places have slightly less rent, but still availability is a real challenge.
Kim Lauder, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
That was Kim Lauder, Executive Director of the Help Center. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.